What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Loud up, what do you got?
So we've all done it. We've all done it. Well, you know.
I don't know what you're talking about, girl.
Yeah, really. I don't know, Laura.
Most of us have done it, and I've definitely done it. Complain about gas prices, okay? Because they're skyrocketing. And you know what?
I mean, not me. I got an electric car.
I know. That's why I said most. Most. I recanted, and I said most of us have done it, and I have definitely done it. But the state is listening. They are proposing a $400 rebate because, you know, gas prices are so high. Mm-hmm. So they're saying that if this rebate goes through, everybody will receive $400. But here's the thing. No, okay, yes, nice, because, you know, I drive a lot. But it's to everybody, like everybody in California over the age of 18. So people that don't drive will still get it.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, I'm kind of not mad at it because everybody needs the money. But if it's for gas purposes and you don't drive, I don't know how I feel about it if you get it.
What about, like, if I get it and, like, I have an electric car? My wife has a gas car, though.
Oh, but she has a car.
Yeah.
You know? So
I have
fine.
A car, too. It just is electric. It's not a car.
But why do you care if someone else gets money for free? It's not your money.
I know, but it's my tax money.
Well, yeah. It is kind of your money.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, it would probably cost more money for them to, like, vet everybody.
No, and that's the point.
Car and all that. So
Let me make a suggestion, though. And guys, you know, I like to hype it up when people I know are listening to the show, so I'll just say it like this.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know that Governor Gavin Newsom is a big, big Sedano and Cap fan, right? You guys know this?
I do, Mio. Okay.
You guys know that he's a big listener?
No, I don't. Why? How do you know he is?
Well, he texts me like 5 times a show, like Al Michaels does, right?
Right. Him and Al Michaels. You're on a text chat with the three of them?
That's right. So Governor Newsom, if you're listening right now, and I know you are because this is the time of day we're usually listening.
Of course.
Here's a concept, though. Rather than sending $400 to every person in the state of California over 18 years old, because not everybody over 18 drives, not everybody over 18 needs the gas, why not just send it to those of us who have our vehicles registered? So maybe there are 10 million people, I'm making up a number for round numbers here, maybe there are 10 million people over 18 years old in the state of California. I assure you it's much more than that. But of the 10 million in my equation, maybe 6.5 million have registered vehicles. Why not just send the $400 to everybody who's got a registered vehicle?
My guess is that it costs more to do all that than it does to just send it to everyone. Otherwise, they'd probably do that.
Yeah, it's a $9 billion proposal.
Jeez, are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
But we have a surplus here.
Yeah,
so
they have the surplus. Yeah, and they are saying that even if you don't own a vehicle or drive a car, you will still receive it. Because of the increase in living expenses.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
$400. I wonder, did they
say this? That's what happens when your state been selling weed for all these years. You get, you got a surplus.
Yeah. Well, wait until gambling becomes legal in California.
Then God. That should have happened a long time ago. I don't even understand why it's taking so damn long.
Well, it's going to happen, George, this November when it's on the ballot. It'll get voted through, and then gaming will be legal. And so
here's the thing, the pushback, and you know, there are some states that have this, and California is one of them, where the casinos on the reservations always push back, the paramutuals push back in those situations. You're saying that that's not going to matter this time around?
I'm saying that, and this is the only reason I have any exposure to any of this, is because of my involvement in the horse racing industry.
Yeah, Stable Wars.
Right, and I know.
Can we have a sequel to Stable Wars? Can we recreate one?
I wish we could, but here's what happened, George. We had 2 seasons of Stable Wars.
Yeah.
And then we sold the franchise.
So we can't. How about if we did Stable Battle? Stable Battles instead of Stable Wars.
We could completely change the name of it and just copy the entire show's concept. We could do that.
I mean, Bergman, clearly a good actor. We saw it earlier today.
Bergman was great. He was really great. But these weren't actors. This was reality TV, George.
I know, but it's reality-ish. It's all reality-ish.
There's Lindsay's drop. Mm.
Bah!
There you go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's reality-ish. You hammed it up a little bit.
Yeah, well, a lot of it. But here's the thing. But I would just say this, that because of the way, like, the racetracks, you know, Santa Anita, Del Mar, Los Alamitos, et cetera, those racetracks, eventually, they think they're going to have legalized gaming inside those tracks. I mean, that has been the expectation, that in November, California will pass this law, gaming will become legal, and then places like racetracks, as an example, will become places where you'll be able to make bets on not just horses, but on games as well.
Stable horses, or wait, what was it called again? Stable Wars 2. Woo!
Now, this has got to be Stable Wars like 2.0, or maybe we call it
3.0. Yeah, we'll just call it that. Stable Wars 2.0.
Now, did anybody go onto YouTube and search for Stable Wars so you could check me out?
Nope.
No, I didn't.
I'm about to. I forgot about it, but now that you mentioned it, I better do that.
I don't know what's on there, though.
Yeah, no, I pass.
You pass on that?
Yeah.
Not even going to give me a look, huh?
Nah.
Oh, come on. You're not even curious what stable horse or what is it? All horses?
No.
Whatever it's called.
Honestly, no, curious. Because first of all, I don't have time for good TV. I'm not going to go spend on bad TV.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good. Sorry, Cap.
That's okay. And you don't know that it was bad. It was good.
I mean, it's canceled.
No, it wasn't canceled.
No, you sold it.
Oh, my bad, my bad.
I sold it.
That means it was so successful that someone else wanted to buy it, right?
Yeah.
That happened, Cap? Yeah.
Well, we hired this producer from L.A., and he told us he had all these grandiose plans, and my partner at the time, he really bought into what this guy was selling. And then two things happened. One, we eventually sold it to this producer, and then he took the episodes that we had already created, and then we had hours and hours and hours of tape, and he was creating new episodes, and he was selling them around the world where people were like, ooh, I want Southern California and super hot people. And, of course, I was in the show, so when they say super hot.
Oh, for the love of God.
And I was a little bit younger at the time. And so we sold it to him, and then this guy wound up going to jail for, like, money laundering or something, and he's in jail.
What?
Yeah, true story. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. All right, that is what you need to know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. All right, let's talk about this Russell Westbrook thing.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So all the shows today, I was on NBA today, I saw First Take today, all these shows, right, are all asking the question, is the disrespect real? That's actually what I asked, what I said to Jalen Rose last night on television when we were doing the studio, when we were playing the highlight. I was like, yo, Jalen, the disrespect is real. And I'll say this. The question has been asked a lot. Is it too disrespectful to do this to Russell Westbrook? And Russ had the – do we have the audio? I'm just asking. We probably should have discussed this earlier. But where Russ basically said, oh, I'm looking at the box score. None of these guys ever done anything, blah, blah, blah. And then Pat Beverly went back and was like, hey, man, I've been to two conference finals. I've been in the playoffs pretty much every year that I've been in the league. Like, is it a team thing or an individual thing? And here's the thing. Here's what I would say, Kaplan. If you're Russell Westbrook,
yeah,
you spent a lot of years yamming it on people, okay?
Yep.
Slamming it in their face, yelling in their face when you slammed it.
Cradling
and, you
the
know,
baby.
Rocking the baby, yep. Doing all the too small, telling guys they're too small. You did all that stuff.
That's right.
And then now on the other side of it, and this happens to everyone, it's kind of like in business when they tell you, all the people you see on the way up, you're going to see on the way down. And, you know, you got to be careful with what you do to people or say to people. So there's that part of the equation. He kind of mocked a ton of people when he was awesome. And now people are having fun at his expense and, like, saying, no mercy to you because you weren't always so nice to deal with when I played against you when you were really good.
Dude, not only are they mocking Russell Westbrook, they're mocking the entire Laker team, and in particular, LeBron James. I mean, I really cannot believe what I saw last night. Russell Westbrook, during the game, the air ball that he throws up.
Oh, my God.
And the way the guys from the Timberwolves, Carl Anthony Towns in particular, and Beverly.
Oh, Carl Anthony Towns was hilarious.
Dude, the way these guys clowned Russell Westbrook on the floor.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And by the way, if Russell Westbrook was playing for the Washington Wizards and they were terrible and he were terrible, no one would really care.
No.
But he plays for the Lakers and he plays with LeBron.
Yes.
And the NBA is celebrating their failure.
Yes.
And when Patrick Beverley flexed in the middle of this game, and then walked over to LeBron with his hands on his knees and smacked him in the butt, I went, okay. Not only is the fear factor of LeBron James gone, but the respect for LeBron James, from the younger guys, not that Patrick Beverley's so young, but from the other guys in the league.
Yeah, no, but Pat has done that to LeBron before. Like, Pat and LeBron, remember a couple years ago during that Christmas game when the ball, you know, people were wondering if the ball went off LeBron or went off Bev in the last play, basically. And when that play went Bev's way after the review, Bev did the same thing to him. Like, that's just their weird relationship they
had. Okay, listen, maybe so, but I don't, you know, remember it. I mean, I don't have that recollection, but what I saw last night of Patrick Beverley flexing and kind of ridiculing Russell Westbrook and then tapping LeBron on the butt like...
No, it was funny. That part was funny, but I don't know if that's disrespectful. I just think he's done that to him before.
I don't know, man. I looked at it as not only disrespectful, but the fear factor, again, is just gone.
No, the fear factor of the Lakers is gone for sure, and LeBron only to an extent because of the surroundings, not necessarily because of LeBron.
You know what really irritated me, though, last night, George, was watching Russell Westbrook's post-game press conference.
Okay, let's hear from Russell Westbrook, though, first. Let's hear about all the stuff with Minnesota and what he said.
I honestly don't pay no mind to it. Maybe the other guys they weren't talking to me. So they were talking to individual guys particularly, but the trash talking doesn't bother me none. Nobody over there has done anything that in this league that, you know, make me put my eyes up like, oh, they're talking mess, let me respond. No. So, it's fine. They're good. They won a game. You know, happy for them. Move on to the next one. That's that. Mm-hmm.
So, really, you're happy for them that they won the game? Really? Did you walk over and congratulate them? Hey, nice job, fellas. Really good job. Happy for you guys. Really, I am.
No,
seriously,
no, obviously
sincerely.
He didn't do that. Yeah.
Right. That's the number one. The second thing that bothers me, though, is this. Here's a guy who a week ago turned himself into the victim. Oh, my God, you disrespected me. You called me Westbrook. But yet, after these guys clown him, what does he do? First, he says it doesn't bother me, which we know it does, because we know that somebody calling him Westbrook in the stands, not one of his colleagues, not one of his peers, not a player on the floor.
Well, but I think that's why he thinks that's more disrespectful, though.
Well, maybe he does, but he does. He got a problem with a fan.
I mean, wouldn't you? Like, okay, if you had criticism from another, like a peer, if someone in sports radio took a shot at you, right? Oh, Kaplan, you stink, blah, blah, blah. I mean, yeah, you'd be annoyed by it and probably go back at him. But if some rando said they could do, like, radio better than you, you'd take that more to heart for sure.
Randos,
who the bleep are you?
I got randos saying that to me every day on Twitter, and I'm like, hey, I got a thick skin. I can handle this no problem. If somebody in my field actually said something like what Patrick Beverley did last night or Carl Anthony Towns did last night, I'd be a little bit more pissed off. The point I'm trying to make is this, though. Last week, he was upset about the disrespect. Now, these guys are disrespecting him, and he doesn't seem to pay any mind to it. So he can hear the fans calling him Westbrook, but he doesn't pay any mind to the players saying it to his face, laughing at him.
I don't think that – I just don't think – I think those are completely different circumstances.
Like but they're both about his personality.
I understand, but I think it's different when you are one of the elite players or people to do anything, regardless of what it is, sports or not. And he has been, whether he's not that or now, whether he's that now or not is different. But some mere mortal making those comments to him or making comments to him is certainly, it would be more infuriating to me than it would be someone who is actually good at this stuff, one of the 450 in the world who are in the same league as him, per se.
Not me, like I see it differently.
Yeah, we see it completely different.
But you know what, though, George? But in the end...
But the Patrick Beverley stuff, I totally get. Patrick Beverley has every right to be upset at him and mock him as much as he wants, because Pat Beverley went on J.J. Redick's podcast and explained it to him. When Russ did that thing a couple years ago saying, oh, Pat Bev's got you guys all fooled, talking about the media about him playing defense. He don't play no defense. And, you know, Pat said that it took him a minute to get back on a team. Like, that team's... We're kind of looking at him differently because of what Russ said, and he would never forgive him for that.
Well, he schooled and clowned Russell Westbrook last night. And then just my last thought on this, I know we can go deeper into it, but when he takes his shot at everybody on the Timberwolves and he goes, well, none of those guys have ever done anything in this league, I would ask Russell Westbrook this. Other than being a guy who's put up a lot of great statistics,
I mean, he's one of the 75 greatest players of all time.
I understand, but what has he ever won?
Okay.
So he's ridiculing those guys because they've never done anything in this league. But, yes, he has all of these individual accolades and honors, but what has he done?
Yeah, but none of those guys have even that, is what I would say.
I got it, but But come on. I mean, Russ, it doesn't bother you, and then yet you take your shots back at those guys?
Right. It's
being passive aggressive. Of course it bothers him.
Really? Thanks, Captain Obvious. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. Yeah, it bothers him. Should bother him. It should bother LeBron. LeBron's like, I can't believe I'm a part of this disaster. This has got to be the worst team LeBron's ever played on.
Probably since like his rookie year or second year, for sure. All right, coming up next, Travis said something about the Dodgers that had me kind of puzzled, is the way I will describe it, after their acquisition of Freddie Freeman. We'll get to that coming up next. We're back in about 4 minutes.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Why can't I turn off the radio?
Look at that. A little double shot of Neo for you, Cap.
That is pretty impressive to have a Neo mention twice in the same broadcast.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
There you go.
Now Chris did mention Sloppy Joe's.
Do you like Sloppy Joe's?
I
hated Sloppy Joe's as a kid.
Yeah, like my mom used to make them. I'd be like, Ma, what's for dinner tonight, Ma?
No. My mom wouldn't make that. You don't make that in like a Cuban household, bro. They used to eat that stuff at school occasionally if I had to, but that was it.
Nah, my mom on the rare occasion would make Sloppy Joe's. And I just never really got into them. There was a Sloppy Joe like commercial back in the day for like some Sloppy Joe mix. I wish I could remember.
Oh, Hamburger Helper, yeah.
No,
it wasn't Hamburger Helper, though. That was a different product. Some kind of Sloppy Joe. Oh,
Manwich.
Yeah. Right, it's not a sandwich, it's a Manwich, right. But I think there was an Adam Sandler song. Somebody's going to have to check me on this.
Yeah, and he goes, Sloppy Joe, Sloppy Joe. What's
that's right. Come on, sing it now. Sloppy Joe, Sloppy Joe, yeah.
I'm trying to think of what
that
song.
That one actually was not terrible by you.
It's the Lunch Lady song, I think.
Lunch Lady. Yeah. How's the Lunch Lady song go? I don't remember.
I don't know. That's the only part I remember.
Sloppy Joe, Sloppy Joe, yeah.
The water boy.
Such a
yeah,
weirdo.
He also had another character that he did on SNL way, way, way back in the day called Canteen Boy. And that exactly. Every character was the same.
I was
going
to say, they're all Canteen Boy.
Right.
All of them.
Right, they're every one of them. Thing. Like they used to do Halloween. They'd say, now here's Adam Sandler with ideas for Halloween. He'd go, maybe you could go as one-arm pickle guy. Hello, I have a pickle for an arm. Now please, give me some candy. That's what he did. That's what he did. That was Sandler.
Mm-hmm.
Sandler's texting me right now.
Yeah.
He's texting me. He's like, yeah. That's a really good impression of me. Ooh, hi-yo. Now, wait. Now Al Michaels is texting me. Al Michaels is saying, is that you doing Sandler? I'm like, yes, Uncle Big Al, it's me.
Yeah.
Wait a second. Hold on. Now Gavin Newsom is texting me.
Yeah.
Gavin Newsom wants to know if he thinks that he liked my idea of only sending $400 to people who have vehicles registered in the state of California. He liked
save a little money. Yeah.
All right, guys, stop texting me while I'm on the air. Please, Uncle Big Al, please stop.
Yes, Governor Newsom.
Yeah, and Adam Sandler, please stop calling me while I'm on the air.
I think he was texting you, not calling you.
He's texting me.
Okay. So.
Yeah, where were we?
Travis today. I was listening to the Travis and Sliwa extravaganza this morning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Driving in to the TV building. And they were talking about Freddie Freeman, obviously, and how incredible the Dodgers lineup is. Which, by the way, it is incredible. Like, that cannot be stated enough on the front end, right?
Dude, I saw a tweet from Jeff Passan earlier today. And, I think most of us kind of look at Passan, he's sort of to baseball. I don't know, is it fair to say, like, what Schefter is to football? I don't know if there's an exact comp, but
like
pretty
Woj.
Close.
Yeah,
Woj, yeah. That's a better one. And Passan said, in his entire career, 20 years of covering Major League Baseball, there's never been an all-star lineup like this. And, George, think about this. Mookie Betts, 5-time all-star MVP. Mm-hmm. Freddie Freeman, 5-time all-star MVP. Mm-hmm. Trey Turner, an all-star. Max Muncy, a 2-time all-star. Mm-hmm. Cody Bellinger, a 2-time all-star and an MVP. JT's a 2-time all-star. Pollock is an all-star. Turner's an all-star. Who am I missing somebody? Smith? I mean, everybody on this Dodger team, as it is constructed right now, is an all-star.
It's an unbelievable lineup. I too have never seen anything like it. It you know, those Yankees lineups when they were winning four World Series or whatever were pretty incredible. This is better than that. And I didn't think I would see lineups as good as those again. And the Dodgers have done that. I think easily have replicated, if not surpassed that, by a wide margin.
Well, the other thing is this. When you take a collection of great individual players statistically and you put them all together, the key is you got to create a team. And the Lakers this year clearly were not able to do that. And we can blame Russell Westbrook. We can blame LeBron. We can blame, you know, coaching. We can blame front office. We can blame everybody. I would guess here, if I had to make a prediction, the Dodgers are not going to have that kind of trouble because Freddie Freeman, by all accounts, is like one of the really great guys in the game. A great clubhouse guy, a great leader, a guy who produces, is a pro's pro. I mean, everything you hear about him is what a great guy.
What do you think a pro's pro is?
Well, to me, I actually love the phrase a pro's pro.
I'm not surprised.
Dude, I love a pro's pro. Yeah. Because, honestly, I'll tell you right now, I don't think Russell Westbrook has been a pro's pro this year.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why not?
I know. Well, I mean, has his behavior been and has his play been as professional as it should be?
No.
So, I mean, Freddie Freeman, I'm reading. I mean, not that I was like some Freddie Freeman expert. But by all accounts, this guy is everything you want on your team, not just from a production standpoint, but from a leadership clubhouse standpoint. Mm-hmm. Those were my questions about Russell Westbrook when they first signed him. You know, stats and production, that's one thing. Locker room leadership, the way you fit in with a team, the way you play your role, those were question marks. Matthew Stafford, superstar statistics. Could he come to the Rams and lead them to a Super Bowl? Questions answered. Russell Westbrook, Hall of Fame statistics, no championships. Could he contribute when he's got championship caliber people around him? The answer has been no. Freddie Freeman, championship caliber player and producer, now coming to a championship caliber organization, I would think this is going to work out perfectly.
Look, I think they have great guys and guys that are easy to root for. I'm with you on that. I would also say, and you know how I feel about this, particularly at the plate, baseball is an individual sport that masquerades itself as a team sport. You know, it's you versus the pitcher, basically, in a lot of ways. I mean, the outfield, I guess, and infielders' defense, I would say. But at the plate, it's just you. Like, you are it truly is an individual sport in that regard when you're at the plate. Right? You can't disagree with that, right?
No, I don't disagree that you are by yourself responsible in that moment.
Yeah.
For what you do or don't do.
Correct.
You know, I mean, you're not going to go back to the bench and go, hey, it's your guys' fault.
Yeah.
You know, if you guys would have said, hey, batter, batter, hey, batter, batter, hey, batter, batter, a little bit louder.
Yeah.
That would have been better for me.
Correct.
So it's your fault.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, it is an individual game. But, you know, George, as much as it is like that, you know, locker room chemistry, which you always tell me you don't buy into that. I'm huge into that.
No. I don't. It's not that I don't buy into it. I don't think it's the most important thing.
It may not be. But I would say that when you look at the Dodgers and you look at this lineup, tell me who on this team, like you look at and you go, bad guy, locker room cancer, just guy's going to create problems for this team. Like look at the lineup and find me that guy because I don't see that guy on this lineup. Those were question marks coming into the season about Russell Westbrook. Will he fit in? Can this work from a chemistry standpoint? Will he accept his role? Same thing went for Odell Beckham.
Yeah, I don't think there's that. I don't think there's that. But in baseball, you have so many more positions, right? Like, I think it's not an apples to apples comparison.
All I'm saying is that on this Dodger roster, you have likable guys, you have productive players, you've got guys who have individual honors. and you've got a lot of guys who have been winners and champions in their career. This Dodger team, we thought last year's team should be the World's. You know, I think everybody thought the Dodgers were going to win the World Series. It ultimately didn't work out, but this is an odds-on favorite World Series team right here.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about that. Hey, we didn't get to the Travis part of it. We'll do that at 5:45. Let's play Radio Tinder next.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I don't know about this song because I feel like we need to change it. But the fact that I've been vocal about that, I don't think it's ever going to change now. But thanks,
probably not.
Chris. Yeah. But thanks, Chris. So, starting with the NFL, when NFL fans tune into games on Fox next season, Aaron Andrews is going to be one of the only few familiar faces after Joe Buck and Troy Aikman both left the network for ESPN.
Yeah.
Well, Andrews, she first joined Fox back in June of 2012, and she obviously spent a lot of years working closely with those two. Well, the news of them leaving hit her really hard, as she said on her podcast this week that she began crying when she first heard the news. Have you guys ever cried or been, like, overly emotional when a coworker left? Swipe left or swipe right, Cap?
I'm going to swipe left. Because I can't really remember a time where I've gotten overly emotional about somebody taking off and leaving. And by the way, and you know, in radio, it's not like, hey, I left to go to another network to make a lot more money. Usually it's like, hey, they fired this guy, you know, or girl or whatever. So I can't really think of a time where I got overly emotional. But Aaron Andrews and I, we have a little bit of a history here. So, yeah. I don't know if you want to get into that, George.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with her. It's just you. I guess you don't have a soul, though, right?
No.
Okay. Cool.
George, you ever get emotional?
I did not. I've never gotten emotional like that when somebody has left. No. I mean, the only time that I can – or the most recent time I can recall getting emotional was obvious – and for obvious reasons. It's when Pedro Gomez passed away. But – and just finding out so abruptly because I had literally called him the day before. It was that to me. I remember when I called him on Saturday, and it was weird that he didn't pick up or call me back. I remember getting the phone call, sitting here watching the Super Bowl, and like I can picture the whole thing. But no, not when someone leaves. I'm usually happy if someone leaves, because if they left, it's because they're usually going on to bigger and better things. Or in Cap's case, if they got let go, you know, I feel bad, obviously, and I generally have gone out of my way to help people in those situations, but. Yeah, I mean, crying, the only time I've cried in a colleague situation was Pedro, that I can think of.
I would think Aaron Andrews is probably thinking to herself, wait a second, guys, where are you going? Hold on a second, we're a team.
Wait, so you guys didn't cry when Greg Bergman left for Mason in Ireland?
No.
No,
I mean,
no,
I wouldn't say
not.
I cried. I mean,
we were sad, but not crying.
I high-fived him and stuff.
Oh, okay. Just curious.
Threw him a fist bump.
I thought that would be like an emotional, sad day for all you guys.
It's kind of more, not like, really.
It's more like happy tears when you came this direction. You know what I mean? I was emotional about you joining.
Love you, Greg. Love you, Greg. All right. Well, speaking of crying, Baker Mayfield, his brewing frustration with the Browns took a drastic turn Thursday. I feel like every couple hours there's like a new turn in the Baker story. So he requested a trade from the Browns following when they were rumored to attempting to trade for Deshaun Watson. Apparently, then Baker Mayfield told Adam Schefter that the relationship with the Browns is too far gone to mend and that a move is in the best interest of both sides. And so far, it doesn't appear that the Browns are willing to or intend on granting his request. Do you guys think there's any way that Baker Mayfield is still the Browns' starting quarterback heading into this season? Swipe left or swipe right? Sedano.
I mean, he's under contract, isn't he?
Yeah, just for the rest of this year.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a chance. So I will swipe right in saying that there's at least a chance. If he's under contract, I mean, he can say all he wants, but, you know, what is he going to do? Sit out? Okay, go ahead.
Like, yeah, I mean, he can't. You know. I was thinking the same thing. He can't sit out because it's a contract year for him. What's he going to do, not play when he's trying to get a contract?
Yeah, so he's only hurting himself. So, yeah, I would say it's a pretty decent chance he plays.
Cap, what do you think?
I'm going to swipe left for this reason. So I'm not going to say any names, but anybody who's listened, I've talked about somebody that I'm very close with on that staff, on that coaching staff. I was talking to this person today.
Oh, is that who you were talking to when I called you?
Yes. And let me tell you something. I suspect that based on the Browns' organizational kind of philosophy around Baker right now and communicating with him and off-season programming and everything, my guess is they went and tried on Deshaun Watson. It didn't work out. And they're probably still trying to figure out what they want to do. Baker Mayfield has so overestimated who he is in the NFL, because I'm not sure that anybody's going to make a trade for him, especially when the market's been set. Like, look at Russell Wilson and what Seattle got in return for Russell Wilson from Denver. Nobody's going to give up anything close to that for Baker Mayfield. And he's talking about wanting to go to Indianapolis because they have a, you know, there's a hole there. I don't know that Baker Mayfield understands who their coach is and if they will get along or won't. My hunch is that the Browns are trying to figure out what they want to do at quarterback, and Baker's not their first choice. That's my guess.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping that Deshaun Watson would end up I mean, I guess he is probably going to end up in Atlanta or New Orleans. And if he does go to Atlanta, I would be okay as a Browns fan with Matt Ryan. So, you know, it's not the end of the world. But I just don't see how they can go into next season with that as their main plan, with Baker as their main plan.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird, very weird situation. He's a drama queen, and he just needs to get over himself.
Yeah, but George is right. He is in a final year of a deal, and he needs to come out and play. Otherwise, this guy, at best, is going to become a career backup.
Pretty much.
I think he's already at that point, to be honest.
Well, look, I thought that of Ryan Tannehill, too, and look at what happened to him. So, I mean, you get in the right situation, and they don't have to depend on him, much like they don't have to depend on Tannehill for their success. He only has to throw a few good passes a game. I mean, there's possibility that's the case.
That's what the Browns had, and Baker still.
Well, that's what the Browns want to do. I don't think Baker actually wants to do that.
No, and Baker's just got too. He's got too much he's got too much attitude. He's got too much talking, too much social media presence. Like, he just needs to focus on being an NFL quarterback. He is, like you said, Lindsay. He's a drama queen. That's right. He needs to grow up. That's exactly right.
Yeah, the report that Chris Mortensen said that, and I heard him like confirming today on the Cleveland station saying. They asked him straight up, like, is this how the Browns apparently said that they want an adult as their quarterback? And he asked them, like, is that something the Browns said? And he was like, it's not something I said. I'll tell you guys that. So obviously that's what they think of him. All right. Yeah. Well, speaking of drama queens, reality TV star Lala Kent recently became single, and she's looking for some new love in her future. But she's dating with certain criteria in mind.
Is this Lala as in Carmelo's ex-wife?
No, Lala Kent is from Vanderpump Rules.
Oh, I don't watch Vanderpump Rules because that show is really stupid.
I don't know who she is, but I found this topic interesting. So I guess she recently was on like an Amazon Live session with her fans, and she said that she recently kicked a person to the curb for not passing a background check with her private investigator. She said, quote, I'm never going to welcome someone into my life again without a full background check. And I mean, in depth, I got to see what your credit is. I need to know your family history. I need to know everything you've been involved with. I'm going deep. Do you guys think it's weird for someone to background check a person before dating them? Swipe left or swipe right, Sedano?
I mean, I'm going to swipe left because I don't think you need to go like that deep. I think that generally, you know, look, I haven't dated in a really long time, but what I would say is this, is most people, not everybody, but most people, if you look at the numbers, meet people or date people or marry people even based on other relationships. And what I mean by that, it's just, it's someone that someone else in their friend group or family knows, right? So because of that, you can kind of do your own due diligence. And I think between that and Google, you're okay. Do I need to know somebody's credit report? I don't know. Like, I don't know. I have also a good BS meter. When my friends, male or female, would date someone new, my wife and I, at the time, we were just dating or maybe even just engaged or whatever. Maybe we were newlyweds. Nonetheless, we would go out with them on these dates, like a double date to dinner or whatever and drinks. And I would always, they would always ask me my opinion after the fact. And I would say more times than not, I was right. I'd be like, oh, this girl's good for you, or this person, or this man, this guy's not good for you, or this guy's good for you, or whatever. Like, I'd have my opinion on it. I don't know. I just feel like I have a pretty good BS meter. I don't need to be running credit checks. I can just tell if someone is full of crap or not.
I'm going to go the other direction here. I'm going to say that getting a private investigator to give you some general information about somebody,
that's creepy as hell, man.
It is. I acknowledge that. I've never done it before, but I will say that this person, Lala Kent, who, again, I don't know who she is, and I don't know what Vanderpump Rules is.
She's okay? On a really stupid show.
Okay, but if you're successful and famous, and take famous out of it for a second, but let's say you're a successful person and you meet somebody. Isn't there a show? Have you guys heard about this show called Euphoria on?
Yeah.
It's my favorite show.
Yeah. I haven't seen that yet either, but people are telling me, they're like, dude, if you see that, you're going to lose your mind because you have kids in high school, especially girls.
Oh, yeah. You shouldn't watch that show.
What was the name of the show that Amanda, our boss, was talking about a couple weeks ago that she said she'll never date again? What was that?
Oh, it was a movie. It's called Fresh.
Okay, yeah. Fresh. So you see,
that
she
was
said.
Different because that's, spoiler alert. That's about a guy, like, killing people and, like, cooking them and eating them. Like, that's totally different.
No, I got it. It's a little more graphic and gross. But, like, if you're a successful person and you meet somebody, wanting to know what their deal is not, like, the worst thing, I don't think. But I understand what you're saying, George, about it being creepy. Because I have a buddy of mine who's a private investigator and literally can call him and say, hey, I want to know about George Sedano. And he'll find stuff on you. And he'll say he had two bankruptcies, or in your case, probably zero. But the point I'm trying to make is they'll find this stuff out. And then if you find out, hey, I'm dating this guy and he's gone bankrupt twice, you know, that might be an important piece of information that you might want that he may not offer.
Yeah, but you don't think if someone's been bankrupt twice that, like, the people around him don't know that?
Well, but let's just say that you're dating somebody and you didn't do what you said, which is your friend has introduced you. What if you met somebody dating online? And you go out with them and you go, hey, this girl's hot. And she goes, hey, this guy's hot. He seems like he's cool. She seems like she's cool.
I just think people, I think people leave clues, man. Like, you just got to read the room, you know, like, I don't know.
I know, but not everybody's got an investigative journalism background, you know? I mean, so all I'm saying is I acknowledge that it's creepy, but it's probably a good idea if you're a successful person.
Yeah,
it is creepy AF. You're right.
Laura, what do you think? I'm just curious.
I mean, I definitely think it's creepy. I have a good BS meter, too, so I feel like I can smell the BS a mile away, so I'm good. Just deuce-deuce.
Deuce-deuce. Mm-hmm. There you go, Cap. Deuce-deuce.
22?
God, you're so stupid. That's all for Radio Tinder. All right, coming up next, let's get to what Travis said today about this die. I was, like, stunned and kind of puzzled. Stunned, puzzled, stuzzled when Travis said what he said after the Dodgers acquired Freddie Freeman about how it changes the landscape of baseball. It really was surprising to me what he said. So we'll get to that in a second.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Yeah. Laura, why did you say oof when we heard Adam Levine's name?
Because, like,
Oh, you like him like that.
Yeah, he's cute.
Oh, okay.
He's usually not my type, but he's cute.
Yeah. He's a big Laker fan.
He's a.
Oh, I thought you meant like, like, uh-oh.
No, like,
Oh, oh. Okay.
And he's the local boy, you know?
He is.
Yeah.
Aren't he and Jonah Hill like best friends growing up?
I did not know that.
Did you guys ever hear that?
I had not heard that.
I did not know that.
I'm
almost certain that I once saw an interview with, I think it was Adam Levine, maybe it was the other way around, where they were talking about how these two
dudes. He officiated his wedding. Jonah Hill officiated Adam Levine's wedding.
Yeah, grew up together in L.A., knew each other as little kids, went to Hebrew school together. I mean, like the whole deal. The whole
Mishpacha. Maroon 5 frontman Adam Levine and Superbad Jonah Hill were friends long before either of them were famous. Yes.
How about that? How do you like that?
You knew
how
about something that we didn't.
Wow.
How do you like that? Isn't that funny?
Was it the Hebrew school thing? Like, that's what it was?
Must have been that.
That stuck out to you?
Yeah, it must have been the Hebrew
school. Did you have to go to Hebrew school?
You know it, brother.
Yeah.
You know,
is that
you
on Sundays as well? Like Sunday school for like Catholics and stuff?
Yeah, it was like a Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday kind of a thing.
Wow, 3 days.
Wow, oh, I know.
Lord.
I know. And they
I mean, literally,
us,
good Lord.
Yeah. They taught us how to read Hebrew, which is kind of funny because people will say to me, well, do you read Hebrew? And if you put Hebrew in front of me, I could read it. You know, like I could read it. Yeah. And then if everybody said to me, well, what did all that mean? I'd be like, I don't know. So they taught us the alphabet, and they taught us how to read the language, but for prayer books, not for speaking the language. You understand the difference?
I wanted you to translate something because I want like a saying in Hebrew and tattoo it on me. But
really?
I want someone that like can actually do it correctly.
I'll give you the advice that you would give me. You ready?
Uh-oh.
Google it.
Nah, bro, I've done that, and when I've taken it to people, they're like, it's wrong.
Really?
Yeah.
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 Oh, man, I better be careful this weekend when I'm using my Google Translator when I'm in Mexico.
Oh, duh.
Yeah, definitely don't do that.
Translate sucks.
Yeah. Oh, it does?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, real quick, because we don't have a ton of time in this segment. I was listening to the Travis and Sliwa Extravaganza, as I mentioned earlier. And they were talking about Freddie Freeman and all that stuff. And then Travis had like a... And he even admitted this was kind of a strange take to have as a Dodger fan, which he is, obviously. And he's like, you know, there's kind of like too many, like, there's this delineation of have and have-nots, right? Haves and have-nots in baseball particularly. I'll let him describe it, and then we can discuss it. Laura, do we have that Travis sound?
Yeah, we do.
Let me hear it.
You can't have half the good players in Major League Baseball on one team. It's just not good. I'm so conflicted, Slee, because I love it personally. I love it for my own personal. Turning on the Dodger game every night is going to be awesome because they're going to kick a whole bunch of teams' butts. I'm looking forward to it. But part of what makes sports fun is I don't know exactly what's going to happen.
Yep.
There has to be a chance you could lose. The reason I don't want to watch the Globetrotters is because it's not a competition. It's a show. I want competition, and I don't know if this is the best competition we can get.
So here's what I would say to that, is that baseball, of all the four major professional sports here in this country, has done the best job of having more champions than anyone else. And if you look, don't go too far. Like, look at the division last year. The San Francisco Giants, if I recall correctly, were picked to finish near the bottom of the division on most people's prediction lists or even – in when it came to odds and things of that nature, they certainly weren't anywhere near the top half as far as championship expectations. They finished first in the division and won more games than the Dodgers did. So, and you know, there's just numerous examples of whether it's a small market team or a team that overachieves in baseball. That happens way more often, I think, even than football, which is crazy as far as winning a championship. Because, yeah, in football, there's always the turnover of, like, four or five teams always turn over in the playoffs, in regards to the entire playoff bracket, right, of 10 to 12 teams, whatever it's been historically. But as far as many champions, yeah, baseball, more than any of them, more than hockey, more than the NBA, certainly, and more than football even. So I just don't buy that as a bad thing necessarily.
Well,
the teams,
George,
that are loaded up don't always win, Cap.
Yeah, you know, so you go back to the late 90s, and, you know, the Yankees were in the middle of the Derek Jeter dynasty, you know, And you get into the 2000s, the Arizona Diamondbacks won a World Series.
They did.
The Angels won a World Series.
Mm-hmm.
The Florida Marlins won a World Series.
They won 2 in 7 years.
Right. The Chicago White Sox won a World Series.
Correct.
Philadelphia. Yeah. St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
This is one that might really kind of get you. Kansas City won the World Series in 2015.
Yep.
I'm sure a lot of people obviously remember that.
Yep.
Look, here's the thing. In the mid-90s, I can remember a time, this is kind of right after the baseball strike of 94, when in Kansas City, they would have fan walkouts when the Yankees would come to town because the fans were protesting, we can't play with you guys. You know, we can't keep up financially. But the reality is, teams like Oakland, on very small payrolls, find ways to get it done. Say, I mentioned Kansas City, Tampa Bay. There are plenty of examples of teams that find ways to compete, even with small payrolls. And then you look at other teams that have said forever, we'll never be able to compete with the Dodgers because their local cable television deal far, you know, goes way beyond what we can ever get. But yet you find a team like the San Diego Padres that has a $200+ million payroll because their owner finally decided he wants to win. Didn't work out. Nonetheless, here's the thing. Just because the Dodgers have this incredible lineup on paper, there is no guarantee that they win the division or win the World Series. They still got to go out and get it done. I don't think anybody saw the disaster that the Lakers became. Everybody had expectations.
No. People thought they would fail in the sense of winning a championship, but no one thought they'd be this.
Right. So while the Dodgers on paper look like a very clear favorite to win the World Series, you got to be healthy.
Injuries are a huge factor.
Right.
Yes.
You got to have pitching, which, you know, there's still some question marks in the starting pitching.
Yeah.
This is just not some automatic guarantee, go to the World Series and give it to the Dodgers. They still got to go out and do it. So,
They may win it, but they give themselves the best chance. I'll say that. But you're right. I don't think it's not a guarantee by any stretch.
No. And why do you think a guy like Andrew Friedman, when as smart as you say he is, and thus far, I think you've been proven right. But why do you think a guy like that can't wait to get from an organization like Tampa to an organization like the Dodgers?
Oh, because I'll explain exactly why on the other side. We'll do that. Plus, the big news of the day, Devontae Adams to the Raiders, Allen Robinson to the Rams. We'll touch on all that in the next hour as well. Stick around. We're back in 3.5 minutes.